verse 1 in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. And here's what we read. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word. We thank you for this book of Proverbs. Our prayer is that you would grant us wisdom as we journey through it together. Thank you for those who are here tonight. I pray your blessing on this night. In Jesus' name, amen. We no doubt live in a knowledgeable society. We have access to more information, bigger libraries, greater educational opportunities than at any other time in history. Adam Robinson said, if Plato, Aristotle, or Benjamin Franklin were alive today, they would not have been exposed to as much knowledge as a high school graduate. Our scientific accomplishments are unequaled. We can, as you know, put a man on the moon. We can store in computers more information than any human can ever use. We have the capability to replace most of the parts of a human body in just a few hours of surgery. We've developed weapons that can literally destroy large parts of the world in an instant. There's no question our society is high tech. But if we're so brilliant and we're so scholarly, why is it that the number one cause of teenage death pertains to drugs and alcohol? Why are people afraid to fly on an airplane because of some threat of a terrorist assassination plot or attack? Why do we keep learning of people who seem to be dying of dreaded diseases, some of which who are dying of AIDS? Why is suicide one of the major causes of death in our country? Well, the answer to that question, I think, is found in this book of Proverbs, because there's a major difference between having a bunch of facts and knowledge and having real wisdom to live life. There's a huge gap between having knowledge from a world's perspective and having wisdom from God's perspective. Proverbs is a book that makes that clear. Now, the book of Proverbs has its own inspired introduction. It's in verses 1 to 6, and primarily it uses synonymous parallelism to communicate a central point, which is this. Wise people will continually discipline themselves to a constant pursuit of the wisdom of God. That is what this opening section says. Wise people understand that real success, real accomplishment, real ability to enjoy life comes through one who disciplines himself or herself in understanding the Word of God and in applying the Word of God. Now, you young people who are here tonight, the wisdom of God is what you want to lay hold of. In this world of fast cars, videos, macho imagery, and loose morality. Middle-aged people want to lay hold of the same thing, the wisdom of God, in a world that causes us to struggle at times with power and pleasure and possessions. Older people want to lay hold of the wisdom of God, in a world that sometimes threatens you with the loss of pensions or perhaps some security. It's the wisdom of God that if we lay hold of, that promises it will give us stability in life. It's God's wisdom that can give wise success, regardless of a person's age. A person will continually discipline himself to understand and lay hold of the wisdom of God. Now, the writer of Proverbs in verses 1 to 6, many of us assume that it was Solomon, uses five purpose clauses to explain what the purpose of the book is. They're not too hard to see because each clause begins with a preposition to. You'll notice the two. You can just count them right down in your Bible because these become the actual purposes of the book. This gives us foundational direction as to how this book of Proverbs is going to move. Now, the first purpose of the book of Proverbs, purpose clause number one, is that Proverbs was given so that we might know wisdom and instruction. To know wisdom and instruction. Now, to understand what the writer is saying, there are three key Hebrew words that I want to point out to you. They're important for us to grasp. The first word is that word, know. The particular Hebrew word that is used here for know is a particular word which means knowledge that is gained primarily through experience. This is a very peculiar Hebrew word as regard to knowing something. We're talking about an experiential type of knowledge. The implication is God intends this book of Proverbs to take us to a level, to take us to a place where we personally understand his wisdom so that we can apply it to practical life. This book is a very practical, down-to-earth book. He has actually given this book so that we might know, that is, we might be able to take the Word of God, the truth of God, properly understand it, and practically apply it to our own personal, real-life experiences. That's all seen in that word, know. Now, the second word that's critical here that I want to point out is the word wisdom, because that shows up time and time again in this book of Proverbs. It's chokmah in Hebrew, and this particular word for wisdom is one which basically means, or has as a root meaning, great skill. It was used of a person who had great skill in any area, whether it would be a craftsman, a sailor, a singer, a musician, an administrator, or counselor. This is talking about being at a skillful level. Now, what Solomon is saying here, and most assume he's writing this introduction, is that the book of Proverbs is designed to make us skillful in the understanding of the knowledge of God so that we can live life in a skillful way. That's what this book is designed to do. It's designed to give us a skillful understanding from God's perspective as to how to live life and how to relate to various circumstances and situations that we'll see in life. Now, the other word that is critical here that you do not want to overlook, because this will show up also many, many times in the book of Proverbs, is the word instruction. To know wisdom and instruction. This particular word instruction, musar in Hebrew, is a word that refers to discipline. Now, this word is used of actually a type of concept of a parent who is correcting and disciplining his child. So this book of Proverbs is designed, if we're becoming wise, to make us disciplined people. This book of Proverbs is designed to make us disciplined. In fact, I'm going to be so bold as to suggest that this book will always suggest that the wiser we are becoming, the more disciplined we will be. That is a principle that you will see time and time again in this book of Proverbs. The first clause is communicating a very important lesson, and that is to personally gain the wisdom of God so that we might be able to live life in a skillful way demands that we are disciplined. And without a disciplined life, there will be no skill. Without a disciplined life, there will be no success, and I don't care what field you are in. Without discipline, a discipline in that field, you'll never become skillful at what you're trying to do. And you can apply that to so many principles of life. For example, to be a good athlete, you've got to be disciplined. I mean, there's no getting around that. Those Olympic competitors, they are getting up early in the morning and they are training. They don't just get there by osmosis. Now, many of us like to exercise somewhat on a regular basis, but we don't have the driving passion that's going to that Olympic level. I've told you about my dear friend who's now with the Lord, Dave Traeger, who was a tremendous pianist. This guy would sit sometimes at a piano with one hand, and just work one hand on the piano. I saw him do this one time. He did this for nearly an hour. I would happen to be in the building where he was doing this, and 1 hour working one hand on the piano. And he was skillful at it, but it took that kind of discipline to make him skillful. To be a student, a good student, there's no magic in being a good student. It requires disciplined study. You have to discipline yourself to hit the books, or you've got to come up with a system where you're going to be disciplined if you want a high grade. So there is truth to this important point that Solomon is communicating right out of the gun, and that is, if you're going to be a wise person, you're going to need to become a disciplined person. Now, we live in an undisciplined world, and we live in an undisciplined society that basically does not like to hear this message. But I want to tell you, when it comes to the things of the Lord, discipline is a mark of wisdom. It is a critical part of wisdom. And when it comes to the Lord, our society fosters the idea that the more lax you are, the better you are. But I want to tell you, the slothful person will never become skilled at anything, especially the wisdom of God. And you want to know something? Tremendous freedom comes through discipline. This is going to be stressed all throughout the book of Proverbs. Let me illustrate the point. I have a dog that I've trained. This dog I trained, and I remember when I first got this dog and I was teaching at the heel, the dog is on a leash, a chain, and this dog is just pulling and jumping every which way, and I'm yanking that chain. Well, now, when the person looks at me doing that, they might say, well, that's cruel. You're doing that to that dog. No, it isn't. I'm disciplining that dog. I want to say heel, and that dog is going to walk right at my side when I say heel. And I take that chain, and I work that choke chain until finally, when I'm walking along, the dog is walking right beside me. Now, my goal is this. I want to be able to take that chain off and give that dog total freedom. So when I go walking down a road, I can say heel, and that dog is right there walking beside me, very disciplined. What does that do? That dog has freedom. And you know what that freedom does? It'll protect that dog. Protect that dog from getting hurt. Protect that dog from darting out in front of a car. When I say heel, that dog is there. It is disciplined, and it's going to operate that way. This book of Proverbs is designed by God to give us discipline when it comes to our lives. And you will see that as we go through this book. So there's your first purpose. The second purpose clause is Proverbs was given so that we might discern the words of understanding. Verse 2, to discern the sayings of understanding. Now, again, two words are important to grasp what is being said here. The first word would be discern, and the second word would be understanding. Now, the word discern, some English translations render it perceive, is a particular Hebrew word which indicates that this book of Proverbs was given to give us the ability to distinguish what is right. You will see in this book of Proverbs there is a right, wise way to walk. There is a wrong, foolish way to walk. This book of Proverbs is given to show us what is the right way, the true way, as opposed to the false way. God has given us this book so that we can make distinguishing judgments. And that concept is further supported by the word understanding. Because the particular word that's used here for understanding means that one has the ability to discern, to apprehend, to read between the lines. So God is very much interested that we be people who have discerning minds. And I want to tell you, in this world in which we live, we need people who grasp the wisdom of God right here and right now. Because we are living in a humanistic society that is filled with philosophies that are absolutely wrong. And nobody seems to be able to discern this. Nobody seems to be able to jump up and say, wait a minute, this is way out of whack. This isn't true. This isn't, and it's in a variety of arenas, including in the arena of the church. We live in a society now, just a week ago, someone informed me that there are churches now who are ordaining homosexual ministers who are flaunting their sin in front of everybody, and they're telling people that they're that way. They don't need to change. God loves them the way they are, and that's what they're doing. We live in a society in which there are women ministers, and nobody seems to have the brain power to read the Word of God and say, it isn't right, it's wrong. We live in a day when worship is being brought down and butchered. It's no longer worship. It's a rock band like I used to play when I was unsaved, for goodness sakes. And there aren't too many people that go, that's not right. We need the wisdom of God. We need discerning minds. And the book of Proverbs is going to be a book that will take us to that level. And I want to tell you, as we're going to see, Lord willing, next week, the fear of the Lord becomes a critical element to getting this kind of mindset, a reverence for God that worships God, that bows down before the Word and submits to the Word is a critical issue. We need this book of Proverbs. Now, the third purpose clause is Proverbs was given so that we might receive instruction. Verse 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. The wisdom of God is designed to produce a changed life. It's not given as some form of entertainment. The wisdom of God is not given as some form of academic accomplishment. It was given to make a change and difference in our personalities. If we do not change, we are not wise. Stagnancy is spiritual stupidity. This is given to people to receive instruction. This book is given so that we might literally accept the discipline, receive the discipline instruction that's coming out of the Word of God. That's why this book of Proverbs was given. The writer is saying that Proverbs is designed to give us wisdom. In order for us to have that wisdom, we will need to accept, to receive the instruction, and take the disciplinary counsel that's going to come from the pages of the Word of God, and that's what will make us wise. Now, there are four particular characteristics that are evidenced by a person who's being schooled in the wisdom of God. Number one, there will be wisdom. Verse 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior. That word wisdom that's used here is different from the word wisdom in verse 2. This particular use wisdom, word wisdom, carries with it the idea of wise behavior, and that's why it is translated wise behavior in many translations. What's being stated here is that a person who is receiving or taking in instruction will discover that there will be a production in a lifestyle that is wise according to the Word of God. In other words, they will be developing a lifestyle that is sensible. It will have the right standards to it. And they will be developing a wisdom level about them. That's what it's saying. The person who's taking an instruction will be becoming wise. Secondly, there will be righteousness. Now, the word that is used here for righteousness means there will be conformity to a standard. It's a forensic term. And what Solomon is saying here is the person who's receiving instruction, that is, they're really taking in the wisdom of God, will be people who will desire to discipline themselves and conform to the standard of the Word of God. The person will want to know the Word of God so that he or she may apply the Word of God and conform their lives to the Word of God. That's the mark of wisdom. So you see, wisdom is not just knowing Bible verses. Wisdom is grasping truth, taking it in, and making an application to life so that we develop in righteousness. The third characteristic is there will be justice. And that word has to do with the idea of making right judgment calls. The person who is taking in the word of God will be a person who is making accurate decisions, accurate judgments. I mean, they're true. They're not swayed by emotional nonsense. They're based upon what's sound and reasonable. And the fourth characteristic is there will be, as the text says, equity. And that word means there will be what is fair. A person will be doing what's right, who is gaining the wisdom of God. He'll be honest and fair in the way that he or she deals with other people. Now, all of us need to take in the instruction of the book of Proverbs to produce these qualities. You see, the book of Proverbs is promising us this. If you will take the instruction in from the book, and you will apply your heart to understanding the things here, this is the kind of thing you can expect to see. You will become one who will begin to understand. You'll begin to make judgment calls at a better level. You'll be able to develop a righteous, wise behavior in life. You'll be just in your decisions. You'll call it straight. You'll not bend things. You'll be accurate in the way you perceive it. And you will not in any way bend what's right or what's true. Now, there's a fourth purpose clause. Proverbs was given to develop all types of people. Notice verse 4. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. There are approximately 5 billion people on this earth today, different nationalities, different sizes, different ages. Proverbs is a book right here that says, I transcend all of that. I am a book that I can take any person, whoever pursues understanding this, regardless of their age or regardless of their spiritual level, and I can make them wise. Now, that's quite a statement for a book to make. That's the statement that's made right here in the book of Proverbs, right out of the gun. Now, you'll notice that there are three classes of people that are spelled out in these verses that Proverbs says it has the ability to transform. Number one, this book is for the naive or simple. It's the word in Hebrew, peti. It's the simple, the naive person. Proverbs is a book that is saying, I can take one who's simple, I can take one who's naive, and I can make them wise. I can take them to a tremendous level of understanding of the wisdom of God. Now, the one word that is used here as naive refers to one that's untaught. We're not talking here about a fool who refuses to be taught. We're just talking about one who's at a shallow level of understanding, one who's never had a chance to actually tap into the reservoir of the deep things of the wisdom of God. The book of Proverbs says, you give me a naive person who will receive instruction, and I'll take that naive person and I'll take him to a very crafty level of understanding in his thinking. That's the promise.
Derek Kidner, in his commentary, says that this particular Hebrew word was used of one that was easily led or swayed, one who's gullible. So you may be a person here tonight who you don't know a lot about the Word of God. You may be a very emotional person. Let me tell you what this book promises it can do for you. It can give you prudence. That is, it can take you to a level where you are crafty in the way you think in regard to your relationship with God, in regard to your relationship to various things in life. The second class of people is this book is for the young. You'll notice it shows up there in verse 4. To the youth, knowledge and discretion. Now, this reference to the young would refer to those who they're not at the naive level, but they're still immature. This is the kind of person who needs, at a young age, either spiritually or physically, who needs to tap into the reservoir of the wisdom of God so that that person may grow to become strong. To sum up succinctly, what the writer is saying is that the youth who takes in knowledge, this youth, this immature person needs insight into the Word of God. This youth needs caution as to how to live life, and Proverbs is a book that claims it can give it to the youth. This is a book that says, I've been written for the young. I can give knowledge and discretion. I can take a young person who really wants my wisdom. I can give them knowledge, and I can take them to a level where they have a real understanding of how to make right choices in various areas. I want to tell you, the wisdom of God is not, as we go through this, it's very earthy. I mean, this gets down to some real earthy, practical situations of life. And God says, I can take any person of any status who will receive instruction, and I can make them wise in the way they're going to handle those situations and view these things. The third class is the book was written for the mature. Verse 5, a wise man will hear an increase in learning. See, Proverbs is for everybody. And may I suggest, ladies and gentlemen, one of the real marks of wisdom is the recognition that we know very little. A wise person will always admit there's so much more I need to know. Especially when it comes to the Word of God and the wisdom of God. Fools are people that think they know it all. Fools are people that think they have nothing more to learn. They're already at a standard that's arrived. But wise people understand, boy, I need the wisdom of God too. Wise people understand we need to tap deeper and deeper into the knowledge of God. And it's interesting because the text says that he shall attain to a wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. That word wise counsel was interesting Hebrew words. It was used of one who would steer or guide a ship with ropes. It's a picture of like a tugboat who's pulling a big ship out into the harbor. What the writer is saying is a wise person will continually allow himself to be tugged and pulled into the wise ways of God. He'll always want to know more. He'll always want to know more about God. He'll always want to know more about the wisdom of God. He'll always want to tap into more knowledge of God. Now, a wise person will take that approach to life. He'll want to learn. He'll want to learn from those that are in a position to teach. And I want to tell you, we live in a great, great age. I mean, I don't know too many ages that have the privilege that we have. For example, I have in my library. I mean, I can sit at the feet of Martin Luther. I can sit at the feet of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Lewis Berry Chafer, Donald Gray Barnhouse. I mean, I can sit at their feet and I can learn from those men. And I can learn from those that took the Word of God seriously. And I can learn from what they concluded as they carefully worked their way through these things. And we can grow and we can learn from these people. And that's exactly what a wise person is supposed to do. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when we come to the book of Proverbs, it becomes quite evident to me that a wise person has a never-ending quest for an acquisition of more and more knowledge of the Word of God and more knowledge of God. And for the wise person, there is always a recognition of how little he knows. One cannot help but be amazed at people who claim they know the Bible. Oh yeah, I've been there and seen that and done that. No more I need to learn here. That's an interesting concept that comes from the mouth of a fool. Because the wise person is one who's always interested in hearing and increasing in learning. and increasing in knowledge and in growing in an understanding of the wise ways and word of God. The fifth purpose clause is Proverbs was given so that we might have deep understanding. Now look at verse 6. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. This is the, as Dr. Toy said, the scholarly aim of the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is designed to take us deep. But by virtue of the fact that it says to understand a proverb and figure, the words of the wise and their riddles, this is not going to be surface level stuff. I mean, this is going to require disciplined study. And we're going to have to go carefully through this book in a very systematic, organized way to truly grasp the meaning of this wonderful, precious book. The implication here of Proverbs is I can take anyone of any spiritual level, of any age, and if they are interested in receiving this instruction, I can take that person and I can make them wise to the point that they're actually figuring out the deep things of God. But what this book will end up showing us is without systematic instruction, without a desire to learn, without the discipline of self, there will never be the wisdom of God in our lives. Now listen, what a great crowd we have here tonight for this as we've launched into this book of Proverbs. I want to tell you, the world needs wise people of God walking around. There's a whole bunch of shallow, surface level, foolish, in my opinion, imbeciles walking around claiming the name of God and Jesus. Truth is, what we need are wise, stable people, men and women and young people that say, I'm going to lay hold of the wisdom of God and I'm going to work it out and I'm going to live it out in a practical, real life setting. And this book can do that for us. It promises that it can. So let us be people who make our prayer, and I hope you are already, God, as we go through Proverbs, grant me your wisdom. Take me to a different level of understanding your precious word. Take me from wherever I'm at. Give me knowledge. Take me so that I'm thinking through things in regard to your word and I'm making the right choices and the right distinguishing mental calculations that I need to make in every situation of life. And when we get to that point, we're beginning to lay hold of the wisdom of God. All right, there's the introduction of the book. Any questions about it tonight? Okay, next week, where do you start? Where do we start? Well, we're going to start at verse 7. It's an interesting starting point of, let's take verse 7 and say, okay, here's where this all began now. If we're going to lay hold of this knowledge of God, we're going to start in verse 7 and we're going to build from there.